What we're going to try to do is put some light, give some light in the present darkness so that we can have a better window on how to proceed in the light of the global conditions, national conditions. So if you would, in your Bible, go over, please, to Exodus and chapter 9. Exodus and chapter 9. And in our exercise, we're looking at the word pestilence, that in disease that comes, that could come, literally the Hebrew word. It comes from cows, humans, and the ground, a disease, an infection. That's what the word pestilence is. And to come that way, it's in disease, a virus, if you want to use that term, virus. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's what you're looking at in the light of what we have in our situation. So, the little word, picking it up first in verse chapter 9 and in verse 3. Now, this is to Pharaoh. Hang on to that. Verse 3, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murin, actually. You pronounce it M-U-R-I-N, murin. Now, that is the word pestilence. And that's what we just said, pestilence. A putting forth, a coming after, a going after, a pursuit. In other words, the pestilence is something that comes from animals and humans in the ground, and God is the author of pestilence. So you wonder where it comes from. God allows it. So you got a problem with it. And if you leave God out, then you're trying to solve the problem without God. And God sent the problem in order for a given reason to find out something, to discover something, to reveal something. So here is our little word we're looking at, pestilence, murin. It's translated in the end of verse 3. Now God, you're warning Pharaoh, if you don't let the people go, they're in trouble. They're going to be in trouble. So now, therefore, sliding over, if I can, over to chapter 9 and verse 15. And in verse 15, you'll have the word again. "For now," said God, remember Pharaoh isn't going to let him go. So, verse 15. "For now, I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people." What are you going to hit them with? Pestilence, virus, pestilence, a plague. That's what you're going to hit them with. Now, in verse 15, "And now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth." Now, the Egyptians are warned by way of Pharaoh that pestilence, or the plague, God is the author, is going to send it. Now, and God's going to send it in judgment in order to get the cooperation from Pharaoh, hopefully, to let the people of Israel go. Now, having said that, that's Pharaoh looking at pestilence and that, and the putting forth of the virus, if you would, in this case. Sliding over, if I can now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, over to Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 26. And in Leviticus chapter 26, picking up the thought, if I may, and keeping that in mind, in Leviticus chapter 26, may I go down to verse 2. You shall keep my sanctuary, my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And verse 3, and if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now, so the sanctuary. Now remember, the sanctuary is the temple in the middle of Jerusalem. And in the process, the sanctuary is the centerpiece. That's where all the people gather together. And we've done all of those things in some form or another with Jerusalem. So here's the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is where God is, where God's people gather together. The church is the body of believers, where people gather together. This building for this local assembly is the place where we gather. It's the sanctuary. You're in the sanctuary, and you're in it. And that's how I understand it. I don't choose God. I understand. I honor the sanctuary. I always have. I hope I do. It's sacred. It's the place where we meet. Therefore, as we meet here, even though we aren't here, but believers belong in the body, and the like a finger out on the table needs a hand. So if we don't have a body connecting us as a body, fingers, hands, if we don't have a body connecting us, then we can't really function. It doesn't mean you aren't saved. It doesn't mean whatever. It just means you can't fulfill it. And if you're born, if you're in the Sahara Desert, you certainly can't do it. But when you're in Antioch or Jerusalem, you could do it, etc. So here we are looking at the body, sanctuary, and this is the place. Therefore, this is what we understand. This is where we don't meet down in New York City. We meet here as a body of believers representing the living God. And this is our place. And we want to, so we can't close our place because it's his place. When it's your church and my church, we can do whatever we wish. But when it's his church, you no touch it. It's sacred. And this is his church. That's to me and to you guys. It isn't our church, it's his. So that's very important. So we need to honor this place. So we can't close it. Let's keep that in mind. It's just a building. It's no more than that. We don't make it something that it isn't. But it is the place where we assemble together. It is known by us, understood by us, and practiced by us in this place. Therefore, we can't publicly say anything. The church is closed. We can't say the church is closed. Because God never closes his church. And he's the only one that can close his church. No one else can close his church. Our church, you can do whatever. But his church, you can't do that. You can't do that. Now, so keep that in mind if you would. So it's the sanctuary. Now, we're looking, we shared Pharaoh is in the world system. And the world system faces, like we are in our present global situation, national, we're facing an invisible enemy that we can't put our finger on, don't know how to shoot him, we don't know how to stop him, we don't know how to do whatever. We just don't have that. Now, so here's Leviticus 26, and to pick up the thought, sliding over to verse 25. And I will bring, this is Israel, and for time's sake, just pick it up, or just a little bit and all of it. Sliding down to verse 21. And if you walk contrary, opposite unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Now God said, listen, if you don't honor me, pick it up in verse 23. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, I'm going to do all these things to wake you up. If you don't wake up, you're going to find the next thing. but will walk contrary unto me, verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, verse 25, that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. I will send a plague among you. It's awful hard to fight a plague, pestilence, because you can't put your finger on it. You can't control it. And there it is. Wow. Now, keeping that, that's Israel. Here's Pharaoh. Here's God's people, Israel. Here they are. And God warns them, the plague, here's the world out there doing what it's doing. But here's God's people. Now, we want to go a little bit further, if we can, and go over with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And you'll remember the issue, the problem back then. David, king of Israel, had awesome position, power, and he was so excited at, if using that word, in looking at everything out there, his army, his military, his wow, wow. Verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah, go number them. Now the devil did that. The devil did that. David didn't do that. God didn't do it. The devil encouraged him, as you keep reading. That's what he said. You're going to go out and number the people of Israel. In the process, he was moved to do so. And you don't count. That isn't how you look at things as a believer. You look at God, who is all in all and has everything. And you trust God. And you don't look at how much you have in your pocket in the wrong way, because that isn't the issue. You know from John 6, Matthew 6 and all of those wonderful things, you have a heavenly Father that knoweth your what? He knoweth your needs. You aren't like the world. You don't have to fish and flounder around trying to make things work. You don't have to do that. Either you have a heavenly Father or you don't. And your heavenly Father said, I'll take care of you. Now, so here's David, and David is going to go and look at what he has, and it isn't a question of that. All he needed to do was have two Samsons, I would guess. Two Samsons. And he could have taken care of any Philistine army. Just two Samsons, you know, and two other things. And that's all he have to do. Wow. So here he is. Here's David. Now, David, what are you going to do? Well, David, you shouldn't have done that. Verse 12. Go and say unto David, prophet Gad to David, verse 12, 24, 12. Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. What were the three choices? Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So God is going to do one of them. David has his choice. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? That's choice one. Wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? You want to be hunted down as an animal for 3 months? Or the third one, or that there be 3 days of pestilence in the land, in thy land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. In other words, Gad wants to know, David, which choice is yours? Which choice? And you know that from our past, you let God make the choice. You got a choice, let God make it. That's safe. Now watch. Verse 14. And David said unto Gad, if I can, I am in a great strait. Let us fall down now, fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. That's the way, David. And let me not fall into the hand of men, because men will come up and do whatever. So God, you take care of it. So the Lord sent. He didn't send the first, which is 7 years. He didn't send the second, which is 3 months. He sent the third, which is 3 days. A pestilence, a plague. A plague among them. Now God sent that plague. Hang on. And in the light of that, in verse 15 again. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning and even to the time of appointed, and there died of the people from Dan unto Beersheba 70,000 men. Now God, you allowed the plague, and the plague, the virus, the pestilence took 70,000 men. And God, that was his grace. God's wonderful grace. David, you should have never done that. Count it, you should have never did it. And God showed him. It cost 70,000 men and a pestilence. What did you do about the Pharaoh, what did you do about the pestilence? Nothing. God, you gave it and would give it and took it away. And Israel, what do you do about the pestilence? Well, you do nothing. You don't make pestilence disappear. God does. God makes them disappear. God makes them come to an end in his time. Now, picking it up, if I can, here's David. And we looked at Israel. Here's David. And David was smart enough to what? To give God the choice. And God chose the thing that would be most and quickest and merciful. He chose the pestilence, the plague, which God starts and God finishes. God's the start. Now, so here's over, if you go to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. You're right next door. And 1 Kings chapter 8, going if I can to verse 37. You'll pick it up. There, 37. This is the great prayer, dedication of Solomon's temple. We're dedicating the temple. Solomon is looking to God and looking for God to help him to ever survive, knowing all a little bit of all that's going to happen, captivities and everything. Verse 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, you know that, Solomon, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be a caterpillar, bugs, if there be enemy, if there any besiege them in the land, or in their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sicknesses there be, verse 38, what prayer, what are we going to pray? What were they going to pray? Prayer and supplication, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know, what are they going to know? Every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, this sanctuary. You understand where God is. Sanctuary is where God is committed to. He isn't committed to New York City. He isn't committed somewhere else. He's committed, in this case, back then, to Jerusalem. And that's where it's going to be in the future. And that's where we're looking. We're trying to honor the assembly, the body. We aren't looking to help little believers get hither and yon. We're trying to make the believers in the body work, function, fulfill the wonderful purpose God has for them. And it ain't going to happen apart from their body. It just isn't going to happen, not in this life. It's not going to happen. It has never happened. So I need to understand that. And therefore, David, what did you say, God? And by the way, I'll read verse 35. I did that, 35. And therefore, God's going to forgive. And when they come, they're going to go and look to that place, and God is going to be gracious and merciful. So, Solomon, did you know that? You could send a pestilence, God, and we're going to get clobbered, And but God, when we understand our own heart and get right with you, forgive us. What happened to the judgments? They disappear. They disappear. God did what he did. He got the people's heart to be in tune with him. He's done. Now, keep that in mind if you would. Now, over if you would, to 2 Chronicles. That's Solomon going for the on behalf of all the people. So in 2 Chronicles, though, just adding a thought so you see it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, sliding directly, if I can, in the light of the context, I'm going to read verse 12. 2 Chronicles 7, 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. So God said, you dedicated with 120,000 whatever animals, more than that, and you dedicate, because it's your place, God, and I understand that. The sanctuary, it's the sacred place. It's where God is. Hang on to that. That's what, it's come and go. You can't do that. People don't understand. Not you guys, but no. They don't have that. Not as long as it's our church, my church. Nope. So here's 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and sliding over if I can, verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, verse 14, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then turn thou from and turn thou from their wicked ways. Remember the plague of your own heart in for chapter 8, Kings. Turn from their own wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And God, that's what you're going to do. Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attentive unto the prayer, underline, that is made in this place. In this place. Now, God, why do you keep saying that? Because I want you to understand. I'm not out there playing with it all over the place. I'm telling you where I'm standing there by way of the temple, by way of the tabernacle, etc. This is where I want you to understand. The reason the temple is all going to be in ruins by Nebuchadnezzar, etc., I'm still in that place. And that's what 1 Kings is about. When everything's down, God said, I'm still there. Hang on, we'll get it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, to pick up a little bit of thought, over to Jeremiah, because that's what we've been doing on Wednesday. And in Jeremiah chapter 7, all kinds of places, but here's one of them, in the light of it. Chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, and may I pick up, please, if I can, in chapter 14. And by the way, this word pestilence is used, if you looked it up every place it is, it's used 19 times in Jeremiah 17, Ezekiel 12. Pestilence, 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 pestilence. Is Israel going to pay attention to the pestilence? Nope. But boy, God makes it clear, chapter 14, if I can, chapter 14, and picking up, please, in verse 12. Then when they fast, I will not, this is 14:12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblations, sacrifices, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. God said, listen, I have all kinds of ways to wake people up, to get them to pay attention to God. If I leave God out, then we just get another plague, another problem, another thing. We never learn anything. So now, here we are looking, and here's Israel, and here's Jeremiah, and if we took time, which we won't, if you took time all the way back to chapter 29, back forward, we just read it. What were the false prophets doing? That the false prophets in Jerusalem, the false prophets in Babylon, what were they? They're communicating, and all the people are listening to what? Oh, there'll never be a pestilence. There'll never be famine. There'll never be the sword. Be relaxed. Be relaxed. God's going to put it all together. They didn't have any idea what God was going to do. They didn't want to. Now, so that's what they were doing. And they're going to use the word. No, there's no pestilence. What are you worried about? It'll never happen. I bet people could have said that 2 months ago. I bet you if you tried to say to the public that this would be occurring, how many do you think would believe it? They look out the window, look at the newspaper, they look at everything. No. You see? So now, God, here we are looking, trying to get a handle on how to handle things. So in the process, over here to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 24, better. Matthew in chapter 24. And in the Gospel of Matthew, in the looking at chapter 24, chapter 25, at the tribulation to come, for coming, where all those many plagues will be there. And here in chapter 24, in the light of the tribulation, interesting, I'll read verse 6. And you shall bear, and you shall hear of wars. This is 24:6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. 4. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, plural, and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 8. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Wow. Now that, and this is a Greek word, and this little Greek word means plague, any deadly infectious disorder. That's what you just read, pestilence, any deadly infectious disorder, a virus. Where's it coming from? Going to come. God's going to allow all of it to happen in the tribulation. He has through history. Pharaohs in Israel, etc., etc. Did anyone learn anything? Did anyone understand? And we don't run away. We don't want to do that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that, Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, picking up, please, in thought. 91 and going to verse 3. Surely, you know the psalm, surely, of Moses, surely he should deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, the word noisome, rushing. Just think of the pestilence is rushing at you. What's our problem in our society that's different a bit? It's very aggressive. It's moving. We can't see it move. We don't know how to fight it. It's moving. How do you stop it? Where do you get in the way of it? What kind of shield do you put on? How do you protect yourself? Wow, awful hard. Awful hard. And every time you come up, think of we get virus, flu. You get flu virus every winter, fall or whenever you get it, if you want it. And you get the flu shot, and then the next season, what do we know? They'll tell you. We have to change it because the flu virus keeps what? Changing. And if we think we hit it right, the season will come out good for you. If we hit it wrong, the season will come out bad for you. You'll get the flu. But we try to find it because it's not safe to do it. So, verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. How do we conquer? How do we handle these things? Sliding down, verse 14. Because he has set his heart, set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God, hang on, looking to God and understanding all these things are going to happen, and they do happen and will happen, and we aren't going to make them go away. So we've got a particular kind of thing. And you and I are here in his looking to Christ in a most wonderful way, and you don't have to turn that back over to 1 Kings chapter 8 and that, where God said in chapter 9, I will surely, verse 3, I am surely going to honor the prayer of Solomon. If you guys, wherever you are in captivity or trouble or disease, and you look to me in Jerusalem, look to me. Now that's for them back then, not that's before the cross. Then I'll hear your prayer. That's what he said. I'll hear your prayer. You look to me in this place, I will hear your prayer. So we want to honor that. So and you and I are we represent the body of Christ. And this first, you don't have to turn all there. First Corinthians, well, you do that. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the local assembly in the plural. And I'm going to read verse 16, as you know. Know you not, that's the whole assembly in Corinth, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And where we're sitting right now, assuming our hearts were right and everything was where it should be, that's the safest place on earth that there is. When God's people are assembled together in his name, in his place, there is no safer place on all of the earth. And if you want help and hope, that's where you're going to be.